Welcome to Mike McCarthy Unplugged.
Oh,
that's the official name.
You've changed
the
name,
like
huh?
How do you like it?
Hey, if you like it, I love it, Larry. This is I just follow your lead.
It's much higher than me, but okay. That's the name. Oh. Anyway, in the locker room this week, I've seen the signs that says focus. Now, what's that all about, Mike?
Well, it's really about these division games. You know, those signs and those particular magnets, they're 10 years old now. So we have a process and, you know, what in messaging and signage that we, you know, get into when it gets to the division games. And this is that time of year, and we've got these Lions coming in here, and this is always a tough game, very talented football team, and coming off a bye week. So that's, you know, it's always adds a little bit to the challenge. And it's just based off of the way we're going each and every week, you know, you want your focus to be as high as possible. We do have a weekly theme, and you know the theme this week is perspective. So we're focused on keeping things in perspective of who we are, where we are, and making sure we stay true to who we are and not what we want to be or, you know, the why we do this. You know, it's not as much about the why. It's about staying true to who we really are as a team.
Mike, I know all the attention is now on the Lions, but for you personally, and I know you got the midnight rule, but for you personally, when do you really kind of put the loss behind you? Is it after you've seen the film, after you've addressed the team about that? Is that the official moment? Okay, now I'm done thinking about it.
It's really the when the Mike McCarthy show ends or or the press conference ends. So whatever is last that particular Monday, that's really when it's over for me, frankly, because I have to answer questions about it up until then, because you have to shift gears. You know, our coaching staff today, actually Fridays and Saturdays, they'll start working on Minnesota. So we have a preliminary game planning phase that we go through. But, you know, in my case, I don't get to move on until Monday.
Now, Mike, you made an adjustment with your coaches. Mike Solari goes upstairs in the press box, Alex Van Pelt down on the field. Could you talk about that? We kind of hinted around at it last week. Could you talk about the whys and wherefores of that?
Well, you know, number one is the communication network. You always, every staff goes through it, who has a headset and who's where, who's looking at what, who's focused on what particular area. And it's ultimately about getting a collection of information immediately, because, you know, the immediate information is then put into the adjustment process and then is used as you move forward. Because, you know, I always get a kick out of, well, they never made any halftime adjustments. And you and I have laughed about this. Well, hell, if you wait till halftime, it might be too late. So, I mean, it's a communication network that you're always feeding the information through and having a proper network. So that was definitely in place this past week. I like the flow of it. But ultimately, it was about really giving Tom less responsibility on the sideline, because, you know, for Tom to sit there and evaluate each play with Aaron and then prepare for the next series, you know, I just felt that was too much, and I think it helps. It's helped everybody. So it was a minor adjustment, not a huge adjustment, but it was, you know, it was great to have Alex Van Pelt down on the field and, you know, with Aaron. And. And ultimately, the quarterback coach spends all the time during the week with your quarterback. So it's really, we really went back to the way it used to be when I was calling the plays, is really the adjustment. The offensive staff felt the first plan, the network, would have been better served. And after watching it, I went back to the original plan.
Mike, I think a lot of people look at your job as coaching strictly the players, but you're also coaching the coaching staff, are you not? You got 19, 20 guys, and they're all highly motivated individuals. But how much of your job is really managing and leading that coaching staff?
The toughest part of this job is leading the coaching staff, and it's a very rewarding part of the job. You know, when you're calling plays and coordinating the offense, which I did in the first 2 years, and then backed off where I was doing the full coordinating responsibility, just, you know, as the play caller. You know, once Joe Philbin obviously took over and got rolling, then, you know, we stay with the same format, you tend to learn how to coach the coaches. The majority of my coaching and my ideas and my impressions on the game plan are on the third floor. I mean, that's where, whether it's office, you know, hitting each office or going to the defensive, you know, game plan meetings, trying to make sure you get the appropriate time with Ron Zook and Jason Simmons. And the offense is easy because, I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's always flows. You're always in and out of those rooms. And so that's really where the majority of my coaching goes on. And, you know, as far as the team, you know, I really look at myself as the manager of the program just to make sure that, you know, everything we do structurally is keeping the resources pumping into the locker room to make sure the culture and the education and the motivation is there each and every day for our players to grow and prepare to perform at a high level. So, I have the team meeting, so that's my opportunity to talk to the team, and I get to get in and out of some individual rooms and so forth. So that's basically my job responsibility. That was a long answer.
The Lions have a senior coaching assistant by the name of Gunther Cunningham, who you worked with in Kansas City. And I don't know how much you can get into it. I'm hoping somewhat. Gunther could be, from what you've said in the past, could be fairly entertaining on the headset from time to time, could he not?
Well, I mean, it's entertaining today, you know, but it's really, it's more out of respect, you know, for Gunther. Gunther is a very accomplished coach in the National Football League. And I think the way his defenses always performed, regardless of where he coached at, I'm talking Detroit, Kansas City, Tennessee, so, you know, even all the way back to Oakland in the early 90s. So, you know, anytime, you know, you can see his passion and his energy and his stubbornness and his approach to the game of football was always reflected in a way his defensive play. And I think that's a true mark of an excellent coach. So I have great respect for Gunther. But, yes, I have a few good stories about him calling plays on the headsets. And just, you know, defensive guys are a little different than offensive guys. So
that's as far as
we're not allowed to talk like that. We got in trouble last time we said something bad on the unplugged session. I don't want to get edited, I guess.
Well, moving on then. In the coaching business, you probably lose track of this, but today is Friday the 13th, the big superstition.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. The superstition. Yeah. Do you have any pregame rituals that you got to do to feel right?
I do pretty much the same thing every game, so I don't know if that's a ritual. It's just I don't really enjoy the lead up to the game, so I purposely make sure I have things to do, you know, and it's really related to my call sheet and video. So, you know, I always work, you know, I always work out, video, call sheet. I do that all the way up until the officials meeting. And, you know, I'm a big believer of being on time, but, you know, when that official meeting starts at 10:30 before the noon game, I will be there at 10:29. So I keep myself very busy all the way up. And just because I don't like to sit around and really think about the game. I kind of like to go into the game already into the game, you know. So I watch video and spend most of the time on the call sheet.
Home game coming up. You got company coming.
Oh, absolutely. That's the part of being a Green Bay Packer. Who doesn't have company on a home game? So
now, does the company, whoever it might be, do they understand it's like a working weekend for you, and like it's hard not to be thinking about the game all the time? I mean,
oh no, absolutely. My family's excellent. My wife is, I mean, I can't say enough about Jessica and really how she manages the whole thing. So yeah, everybody's in tune with you know, we're trying to do, you know, as a team, and a commitment that myself and every player and coach has made to the season. So yeah, she's great. My mom and dad, I mean, they clearly understand. And so, you know, it's when people come to town and, you know, everybody kind of knows the schedule. You know, we're able to do this at the house at a certain time and so forth. And, you know, especially having young kids, you know, my siblings and their families are it's always great to have them here. But, you know, it's, you know, there's no late nights or anything like that. My brother Joe now, when he came, we used to, it was always a late night after the game with him and I. But, you know, it's one of the many things I miss about Joe.
Isn't that the best part of noon games on Sunday? You can actually go home and enjoy it?
Well, definitely. You get to go home and stay on a schedule. You know, you get to go home and you know, go to bed with when the kids go to bed. And, you know, our boys are getting too old. They want to stay up too late. Heck, they want to stay up till 10, 10:30. Now it's killing me. You know, so when Jessica, we either, you know, one of us goes to bed with the girls and one stays up with the boys. I've been drawing the boys too many times here on Thursdays and Fridays. So works out a little better if I get to take the girls to bed at 8:30. So.
Mike, earlier this week, you said James Starks was your number one running back. And two of the last three games, he's had about twice as many carries as Eddie, so it's kind of what was going on and so forth. But rarely are you that blunt about a situation like that, personnel-wise and so forth. Was there a reason for that?
You know, no, there really wasn't. I really intended it to be that. You know, really, for that to be such a huge reaction, because frankly, it's in my view, and sometimes the attempts and the opportunities don't reflect that. But it's really about who goes first. So, and James has definitely earned that. I think that's a real credit to James. So, you know, Eddie's working through some things, and but you know, if Eddie's ready to go, I mean, he's always going to be, you know, part of our primary approach to. You know, from an offensive game plan standpoint, but it was really more about who's going first and staying with the 1-2 punch, and it's really a focus point because of the way James has played.
Mike, while we're talking about the guys, something that happened in practice this week, and it kind of goes back to I think this summer or earlier this season, you said in a press conference setting, success is the impact you have on others. At practice this week, and we've talked about him before, Julius Peppers is running the scout team. Now, I see that, and the guy's got to notice. And he's running scout team hard. You know, that's pretty impactful, you know, leadership by example.
You know, Julius is a special player that I think everybody clearly understands, but, God, he's such a strong personality. And it's because of his actions and his approach to the job every day. I mean, he is an old-school, dedicated pro, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's on the field, whether it's in a classroom. And that's what you're looking for. And we have great examples of that in our veteran players. You know, it's your best players have to be your best examples. And that's something that is at the forefront for me as I vision, you know, building the future of this program. And I think it reflects that. Aaron Rodgers has never been fined for being late for a workout or Mr. You know, it's, you know, those are the kind of things you don't hear about. Clay Matthews, you know, Jordy Nelson, and, you know, all of our guys, you know, Morgan Burnett. I'm just thinking of some of the older players, you know, B.J. Raji. So, I mean, we have excellent leadership, and Julius is an outstanding example for our young players.
Our new exciting new feature, unsung hero. Do you got one this week?
Oh yeah. Hey, how was the reaction last week? It's a big hit, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
I got a few letters on it myself.
Yeah, the Wallers family, all points on the globe.
Yeah,
sending in.
Yeah, we got all seven of them. Yeah. So, the unsung hero this week. I'm gonna go with Matt Klein. You talk about, you know, a colleague, co-worker, a dear friend, but you know he's involved in every aspect of our program. It's just I don't think people realize how much time goes into scheduling, adjusting schedules. He also does the whole transportation for the football team. But you know Matt has his fingerprints on every part of our program, and I'll tell you he's terrific. We're blessed to have him here because I don't know if there's one better. I mean, he does a phenomenal job.
I think he could fill a couple volumes with his job description.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, it's, you know, he can't write it down because there's just so many things. He, you know, And he has an innate ability to think on his feet, and you know, he's very intelligent, savvy. You know, knows the organization, has very good people skills. So he is a huge, huge asset to our program and our organization.
Wrap it up with something kind of way out there, but you go to get your hair cut like a fancy place, like at some kind of salon or something like that?
No, no. Oh, shoot.
Because I got a place for you.
Oh, did?
It is like the haircutting version of your dad's bar.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Russ's Barbershop on Velp Street. I just started Russ's going there. It's $11 or $12, strictly cash, yeah. No credit cards.
I'm and, a cash kind of guy.
And catch this, Mike. If you go, like, you know, towards the end of the workday, kind of happy hour, you get a free beer while they cut your hair.
There you go. I'll tell you what, a perfect haircut for me is when I get to fall asleep and I don't have to answer any questions. So that's what I focus on.
And on that
and that's
note,
tough to do.
And on that note, we'll close it. Thanks, Mike. Beat the Lions, huh?
All right. Thank you, Larry.